Good morning, Grace. Good morning. I'm Pastor Kathy. For some of those that you may be here for the first time, I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Pastor Denny is pastor of visitation, and I am the pastor of congregational care and senior adult ministry. Our senior pastor, Reverend Blair, is on vacation, supposedly. Here he is. he is on vacation this week, a well-needed vacation after the holiday season. We find ourselves experiencing the last Sunday in 2018. For some, it may be a time of reflection. For others, it might be looking back over the events and the commitments that they made in 2018, seeing what worked and maybe seeing what didn't work quite so well. It may mean that you're looking forward to ringing in the new year with your family and your friends, with the anticipation of what the new year might look like. But today, I would like us to focus on your spiritual journey, and what does that look like? How did it look in 2018? Did you give Jesus your heart? And if you held back, I need you to think about that today. What's stopping you from giving your heart to God? Today we start a new series on prayer. I just have to tell you how fun it is to serve this God that goes ahead of us and prepares the way. We had our 2018 envisioning meeting where it was suggested that we partner with other churches in the area and try to do some things together. Well, at the same time, Reverend Greenfield was trying to get a ministerium started in Indiana. At some of the earliest meetings, we discussed with our colleagues the importance of unity and the importance of prayer. So we committed to meeting once a month, and out of that, you have maybe read and you heard from Jan this morning in the Indiana Gazette that Grace, along with 13 other churches in the area, have made a commitment to join in prayer for the next 30 days for our community. We will begin the devotional on Tuesday, January 1st, 2019. It was mentioned in the announcements this morning, so if you haven't gotten your book, go out these doors, straight through the doors into the Welcome Center, and there's a devotional there by Bob Santos, one of the pastors in Indiana. And we're going to be reading that book together, so one per family would probably be good, but you need to get a hold of that so that you can join with us in praying for the community in January. So it was mentioned at the same time about Terry. So this is really funny. So the ministerial, which there has not been since I've been here. I've been here 9 years, and there's never been a ministerial in Indiana, so we've never come together to pray. But we're coming together to pray, and at the same time that we're working on the community prayer in our new-founded ministerial, our prayer team at Grace, unbeknown to us, was looking to invite Terry, a national-wide speaker on prayer, to Grace Church. And they were asking him to cast a vision for prayer in 2019. They wanted him to come in the fall. However, our schedule didn't permit that, so Pastor Bill asked him to come in January, still not knowing that this was all going to come together. So do you see how God went before us and he made a way? We're so excited to begin the journey together. So some of you might be wondering, what does that have to do with you? Well, as a church, when we did the envisioning, you envisioned the churches working together. And for the very first time in 9 years, they are working together, starting in January. This is a new concept. In Indiana. It's been here before, but for a long time, the pastors haven't done that. They haven't gotten together. Now, the idea of prayer is definitely not a new concept, is it? Prayer is the essence of what Jesus Christ's relationship is with the Father. He prayed for himself, he prayed for his mission, and he continues to pray for the believers of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5, it tells us, the news about Jesus spread. The crowds of the people came to hear him and to be healed of their own sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He prayed regularly. In Matthew 14, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into their boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. These are just two examples of how Jesus made room in his busy schedule to be alone with the Father. Spending time with God in prayer fosters a relationship with him, and it equips us to meet our life's challenges. Life is so busy, isn't it? There are so many demands on us, and we often run ourselves ragged just trying to keep up with our schedules. But we, like Jesus, should take the time to find the quiet places, to seek God's wisdom and his direction through prayer. In Psalm 121, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Our strength and our help and our hope comes from the Lord, but we can only be strengthened by him if we seek him through the scriptures and through prayer. So as we reflect on 2018, how are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? Taking time with the Almighty God, the one who knows our every needs, even before we speak, even before we ask. Do we spend time with him? On Thursday night, I had planned on leaving the office around 5 o'clock. At 6:30, I received a phone call from Bobby Myers. He was at the emergency room, and they thought that he might have a blood clot in his right leg. So I told him that I hadn't left the office yet, and I'd be right over. When I got there, I saw that his leg indeed was extremely swollen, his right leg. And he was very nervous and very concerned, and nobody was giving him any answers yet. And so I sat down with him, and we immediately prayed together. And I anointed him for his healing. And his fear subsided as tests were run to see why his leg was so swollen. When we got the news of the seriousness of the blood clot, it was a blood clot. It had ranged from his knee to his toes. When we got that news, the tone of the room obviously changed. His mother and his friend were at his bedside now, along with myself. His mom reminded him how much she loved him and that he would be okay. When she had gone home, which he insisted that she do, we began to talk about how serious this was. Fear was about to overtake him, so we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And then I spoke scripture into him. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I will never leave you or forsake you. I walk the entire journey with you. God is with you. The scriptures and the prayers calmed his spirit right down. Again, we talked. We prayed for God's provision again. We prayed for his healing graces, and we prayed for peace and comfort that only God could give him in the midst of the circumstances. We prayed for the doctors and the nurses to know exactly what he needed, and we prayed for the ambulance to arrive and take him safely to Conemaugh Hospital in Johnstown. And we laughed, and we cried, and we sent out texts and emails. Some of you in this congregation received those texts at god-awful hours, By 11 o'clock, I said to him, okay, buddy, we got to wait until tomorrow to make the rest of the texts and the rest of the phone calls. But all he wanted to do was let you know that he was there so that you could pray for him. When we got back the news that you were praying for him, he always had a smile on his face and joy in his heart, and he said, I knew they would. He looked forward to people coming to visit him at the hospital. Knowing that he was in the palm of God's hand and surrounded by the prayers of those on earth and in heaven, he was so calm and so peaceful. We talked of people that had gone before him, especially his grandfather and his friend Heidi, and the importance of their friendship in his life. Now, this service that I'm doing today is not about Bobby. It's about the importance of prayer. It's recognizing and realizing that the only one that we can depend on, the only one that we can cry out to, the only one that can help us through this journey called life is God. Bobby knew that. He was an example of a true disciple. Oh, now don't get me wrong. He could drive me crazy. And he knew it. And he would say, you don't know what to do with me, do you, Pastor Kathy? And he'd laugh. And I'd be like, I don't know what to do with you. He was right. Sometimes I didn't have any idea what to do with him. But as I reminded him on early Friday morning, he spoke the truth in love and the gospel of Jesus Christ into every person that he met. And the smile on his face everyone is referring to, that was the love of Jesus shining right from him to you. I left him at 1:10 a.m. Again, he insisted that I go. He was worried about me getting home, so he made me promise that I would text him when I arrived home. I did that. I texted him, and he texted back okay to me. A few hours later, Jesus received him into heaven for his eternal reward. So, you see, that is why prayer is so important. That is why knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the most important thing that you can ever do. That's the most important decision that you can ever make, so that you, like Bobby, have that promise of eternal life. It matters what you do with your time. It matters what you do with your time with God. It matters how you show your faith. It matters for you, for eternity. Pastor Denny read one of my favorite passages this morning in Ecclesiastes, reminding us of the seasons of life. This passage reflects God's perfect timing, his absolute perfect timing. And I believe that the secret of contentment is to recognize and realize that there is a time for everything under heaven. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes our timing is not God's timing. It might not line up. That's why it's important to rest, rely, and trust in him. But to do that, we must study the scriptures and recognize when we need to let go and let God. Easier said than done, right? The scripture I chose for today is a pretty short verse, and yet it's packed with so much meaning. Let's look at it together. Taken from Luke 9, verse 23, hear what Jesus writes. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. When the scripture was written, Jesus' followers knew the way the Romans would care for a criminal was to make them carry their own cross that they would be crucified on. This was a visual of what it meant to follow Jesus. You had to be willing to put aside your selfish desires, shouldering your cross. For the original 12 disciples and for Jesus, this meant literally suffering and dying. For us today, it means knowing God, living for him, and serving for him. Let's look for a moment to one of the founders of the Methodist Church. John Wesley's biography indicates that he was known for two things: co-finding Methodism and the tremendous work ethic. In the 1700s, when land travel was by walking, horseback, or carriage, Wesley logged more than 4,000 miles a year. Can you imagine that? During his lifetime, he preached about 40,000 sermons. I cannot even imagine that. The Methodist branch of Protestantism traces to its roots back to 1739, where it was developed in England as a result of the teachings of John Wesley. While studying at Oxford, Wesley and his brother Charles and several other students formed a group developed to study prayer and help the needy. So they would pray, they would do life together, and they would help the needy. They were labeled Methodist because the way that they used rule and method to go about their religious affairs. Now, I give you this background this morning because later this morning we're going to use a covenant prayer in the Wesley tradition. John Wesley would pray this every year, mostly the closest Sunday to New Year's, which is what we're going to do today. In 1775, John Wesley introduced a covenant service as an important part of spiritual life, of being a Methodist in the society in which he lived. This renewal service was a time for the Methodists to gather annually in a time of self-examination. That's what we're supposed to be doing today. Examine yourself. And then have a reflection and a dedication, wholly giving up themselves and renewing their covenant with God. Repentance through confession and commitment was the key focus of the service, demanding humility from those willing to submit themselves to the dynamic words stated within the prayer. Now, when you came in this morning, you should have gotten a bookmark, so I want you to take that out. This is serious stuff. This is very serious stuff. It's reflecting on where you are and where God is calling you to be in your spiritual walk. It means sacrifice. It means studying and giving up something of your stuff to make God first. Is there anything more important than that? God is just asking for a little of our time. He is willing to sacrifice his son to die on a cross for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. Is it too much to ask for us to give him a little bit of our time on a daily basis? The covenant prayer is a promise to God that we will change, that we desire to be more of him and less of ourselves. The bookmark is going to be a reminder to you of the covenant that you make. Just like the rainbow is a sign of the covenant that God made to Noah to never flood and destroy the entire world again. Will you go with me on this journey? That's the question, into 2019. Resting and trusting in the one that created us, willing to surrender to his perfect timing and plan for our lives? That's the question. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you would send your one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for servants like Bobby, who knew you intimately, believed and has that promise of no more pain and no more suffering, but was received into your presence with the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Thank you for healing graces on those that are in the hospital. We especially think of Sandy and Darwin. Thank you for kingdom assignments and how they are already changing people's lives. Thank you for a church that prays together and cares for one another in need and in plenty and in want. Thank you for Pastor Bill's leadership and the wisdom and the guidance and the direction that you give him as he rests and trusts in you. Please be with each and every one that is here this morning as we silently and yet boldly lay our sins and our shortcomings down at the foot of the cross. Please, Lord God, forgive us of our sins and help us to be more of you and less of ourselves. Be with the President of the United States and his cabinet and all the officials in the world and our community. Guide their steps according to your plan, Lord God. Be with all the servicemen and women that give of their time to protect us. May we remember them and ask for your protection over them. Be with our bishop and our cabinet and the leaders of this church and all the pastors represented here and in the world. Encourage us and strengthen us for the journey we walk with you. Be with those in nursing homes and those that are homebound. May we extend our love and our friendship so that they feel your grace and your peace and they never feel alone. Thank you for loving us and for teaching us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So here's the deal. In a few moments, we're going to ask the ushers to come forward to receive your tithes and offerings this morning. As that's happening, I want you to search your hearts. I want you to ask God to show you what you need to do so that you can give him the time that he deserves. There will be a list of small groups next week and Sunday school classes in the bulletin. If you are not a part of a small group, I'm encouraging you right now to become a part of a small group. That's where community happens. That's where you get to know your friends and your family and your neighbors that are here in this church. Don't just let Sunday morning be the only time that you talk to God, but make it a purpose to talk to him every day. It's important also to take a look at this bookmark that I have in your bulletin. We're going to be looking at the side that says a covenant prayer in Wesleyan tradition, contemporary version. That's the version we're going to be using. So while the offering's being collected in a little bit, I want you to take a look at that. Because I'm going to ask you to pray that with me at the end of this service. And if you read that before you pray it, you better mean it. It's asking you to change. It's asking you to put God first in everything you do. You're making a promise to God that you're going to move forward according to his plan in your life. Now, we're going to get ready to collect the offering. It tells us in the scriptures that God loves a cheerful giver. So let us give with our hearts ready to receive what God has for us. Would the ushers please come forward?